Alright, closing main break.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy
Dolan Show.
Yeah, well, it's about time again.
Jimmy Dolan.
Oh, Jimmy Dolan Show. Okay,
wake up, Jimmy.
Wake up. Hello.
May 31st.
I'm guessing this is going to be the last one in May.
Last one in May, yep. Maybe. I'm possibly. Guessing.
This could is be. Possibly.
Unless we're still here after midnight.
That's true.
It happened.
No, it's a hell of a day. We're having fun today. Finally made it back in. Of course, our counselor. One of the problems was the counselor decided to take a week. In Disney, can you imagine?
A week at Disneyland.
I mean, most people go down there and, I mean, did you get to ride all the rides several times or what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Every ride.
Pretty much.
Any Ferners down there?
Any
what?
Oh.
Ferners.
Dang Ferners. We love you.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, I think it's getting into be, when I was there, let me put it this way, when I was there about this time one time, lots of people from Brazil were there.
Right.
Yeah, they have big trips from Brazil up there, big groups.
They rotate countries, you know.
Yeah, it was British week.
British? Well, at least they could understand the lingo.
It would have been anyway.
I wonder, you wonder how many are coming from, we're going to talk about this, how many are coming from Argentina?
Argentina.
I mean, from Venezuela.
Venezuela.
From Venezuela, yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Exodus.
You know, Exodus, right.
Hugo.
We're going to talk about Hugo.
Vacation in Disney World.
No, accelerating again.
All right, so what day is it, Jimmy?
Okay, it is Thursday.
No. Yes.
It's the 31st.
The 31st.
Still Thursday.
And still Thursday.
May 31st.
May 31st. That's right.
007.
007.
And
that's
who's
right.
Here?
Let's see. Are you?
Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. Everybody. No, Counselor Curtis.
Hey.
Engineer Eric.
Hey.
DJ Laura.
Shut the hell up, Laura.
Hello.
Oh my God. I believe that came through. I believe that came through.
Piercing.
And Jimmy, and that's all.
And that's it.
And of course, you are listeners.
I'm censored. So I'm censored today. So
we shackled Jack down.
This is all going to be cut out. This is all dead space right now.
That's why we multi-track this.
That's right. We'll put -3. Just keep him pumped to -3.
Just turn that volume down a little bit on his phone. On his mic.
In my headphones.
No, that's right. Let's notice how his mic goes directly.
His
nowhere else.
Right. It's a straight loop.
That's right.
It's the way I want it.
Okay, I'm going to talk about a couple. See, nobody's got a list today. This is called Surprise.
Yes.
This is.
It was from a suggestion from our listener in Morocco.
Thanks to Dave.
No. Was it Morocco?
Yes,
was it Morocco?
Yes,
what about
yes, it was Dave from Morocco.
Way to prepare there, Jimmy. I had printed that out.
Yes. Well, that's Dave's idea. No preparation.
Right.
No list.
No structure, nothing.
And
hey, I need a little more mic.
No, we had one. How about Gunnar?
I can't hear myself.
We had one from Gunnar.
Hey, I can't hear myself.
Well, you got to print it down.
Really
I mean, I got this
hey,
one for
keep
Dave.
Talking.
he needs more mic.
Yeah, can you hear me?
He needs more cowbell.
Yeah, I need a little more
cowbell.
Oh!
Too much cowbell.
A little too much cowbell there.
It was from Dave in Morocco. He said, skip the list. It sucks.
So we're taking that advice.
So no, we are. We advice. Do take advice.
You see, you can actually have an impact.
Well, he's our listener.
Right.
Now we're just
what do you
gonna
expect?
We're just going to have a 35-minute intro.
We did want to give a big shout-out to Will Moyer, too. I didn't
right.
know if you wanted
That's,
to.
No, I do. Okay. He's in Bucknell, right?
Yeah.
He's up at Bucknell. You had a friend. One of my classmates went to Bucknell.
No way.
40-some-odd years ago. Became a fighter pilot. Anyway, we did want to say hello to him, and thanks for writing. Apologize for not getting back to you. I was in terminal... procrastination lazy mode for the last 10 days, so.
Okay. You, Jimmy?
Yeah, hard to believe, yeah.
All right, well, let's get rolling. What's
okay,
the first topic?
Let me just tell a couple. I do want to do some intro stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, one is I did get a email from somebody about the movie called Indoctrinate You. Have you seen that? Did you all get that video?
Saw the email.
I saw the trailer. The way it is, Indoctrinate You is really a movie that's, it has been, I forget who.
Indoctrinate You as in university.
As in, yeah, and in fact, if you go to Indoctrinate You, which is just the U, letter right. U, dot com, or, yeah, I guess it's
and
got.
And I'm guessing this has something to do with our current educational
system. You bet. And the trailer's pretty good, and the way it works is, apparently, they're claiming that Paramount and Warner Brothers and those people won't distribute it because it's so controversial. It's typical John Stossel stuff from what I've seen before, but because John Stossel still had a thing on 2020 called The Dumbing Down, and it did a big, big famous thing, The Dumbing of America or something like that. Anyway, this is apparently a full-length movie that does the same thing, documentary They're claiming they can't get anybody to distribute it. But if you go to their website, you can sign up. And I noticed when I signed up here that there are 33 people so far in Gainesville that would like to.
No, there's 1,000. Oh, no, just in our town. No,
that's just in Gainesville. Oh, okay. No, there's the thousands around the country.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Right, so indoctrinate you.
Yeah, that's right. Indoctrinate
you. We'll put a link on our website, but don't count.
Have you seen the movie?
No, you can't. Yeah.
Oh, you can't.
It's only been shown, like, I think it was shown, like, it was screened, is what they call it, mm-hmm. in, like, two private rooms or something. And
somewhere.
So what they want to do is to find a way to get it. They said if enough people sign up, it's like the Free State Project up in New Hampshire. You know, if enough people sign up, they'll go ahead and do it, kind of thing.
They'll go ahead and do what?
Show the movie.
Oh. What's the Free State thing?
That's the one in New Hampshire where if they had 5,000 or 10,000 people that said they would move to New Hampshire, they would start the ball rolling, and they have, right?
Yeah, it's a great movement. What they've got is they've got a system whereby you sign up basically to commit to move to New Hampshire once a certain number of people, I think it's 5,000, also commit to move there. Mm-hmm. And the idea is they're going to collect all of the liberty-minded people up in New Hampshire and then heavily influence whatever votes are taken up there. And so it's a great
So it's the liberty thugs are going to take over from the statist thugs.
Well, the idea is to put some prohibition against thuggery in the government.
You're using thugs to do it, so to speak. My thugs are more benevolent than yours. No, I understand. And I know that Free Talk Live now has moved up there, right?
That's yeah,
the, Free Talk Live. They've like moved up there permanently. They used to be down in, what, Sarasota or Tampa or something?
Yeah, they did. Ian and Mark, they're up there.
They moved from Florida to New Hampshire?
Yeah. That's the kind of commitment that they're making.
That is a commitment.
That's a commitment, man.
That is a commitment.
And
I guess they love the live free or die part. You know, that's
right.
That's
right.
Their New Hampshire.
That's a great motto. That's my favorite state motto.
Me too. I just want to live free in a nice warm place.
I don't like the or die part.
No,
I like to live free, but I'm not
live
sure
free
about
free or live somewhere else.
That's right. Exactly right.
Live somewhere where it's freer.
Live free or not quite so free somewhere else. The die part is rather. Let me put it this way. It's more or less permanent. I mean, you know, I haven't seen a lot of them. There's a reported of one guy coming back, but I'm having my doubts about that one.
Mm-hmm. And if Houdini can't make it, nobody's making
that's
it.
That's what I
that's
say.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's a great thing. I think we ought to do the second state right here in Florida.
Yeah, well, good luck on that.
Yeah, well, hey.
Now, the nice thing about New Hampshire, I think one of the reasons they selected it, they were talking about Montana or Idaho for a while, but because they're low population. But they're huge, huge states. New Hampshire has also a fairly low. Well, except that Delaware, believe it or not, there's a lot of people there, and you got the DuPont people, and you got some people there that might send people with bent noses out to see you.
Well, at least they're doing pretty good on the taxes.
Bent noses?
Yeah, you know, hey, good to see you, man.
Guido, man.
Guido.
Hey, I'm Guido and Vito, man.
You know, you've seen that.
You owe it some money.
That's right. Speaking of education, did you notice that Hillary wants $10 billion for pre-K education?
Yeah. That was not a sound effect.
National pre-K education. Do you know what they call the program? The Kindergarten.
I love that. Kindergarten, yeah. We have this. And we say, you have to have the stomping. Marching feet. Sing Clinton.
Have you been Clintonized?
That's right. No, it's you know, that's exactly right. Well, they have all of them are coming out with education programs that are essentially more indoctrination. I thought it's interesting the indoctrination is indoctrination. You, of course, shows up a lot about that. It mostly functions on it tells about the colleges. David Berkowitz or Horowitz, excuse me, David Horowitz, who started off as a commie and has turned into a total libertarian liberty type guy, now speaks on college campuses, regularly gets stoned. And he's talking about the
with rocks or on pie,
all of the above. And so the deal is that it turns out that in the name of diversity, there is no diversity of speech on campuses. They have speech codes and everything. And basically, you can say anything you want as long as it's almost nothing, as long as it conforms to the speech code. And everything in the world just about is hate speech and everything is. So anyway, the indoctrination, indoctrinate you or whatever it is movie, which I'd like to see. The trailer was a very good trailer. And you can watch it. It's on YouTube, I think, or you can go to the website. It starts right up. It's about 2 or 3 minutes long. But so we're talking about the plans that people have, and there's two stories that come to immediately mind. One that I'm going to get through here real quickly. In Dayton, Ohio, the headline on this is Ohio school fears cuts will rewrite its success story. this is a little, this is in Ohio now, which is a fairly populous state. I don't know. There's there's like millions of people in Ohio, and there's, I'm sure there's, I'm guessing there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of students in K through 12. This is with regard to 32 students who graduated from the Dayton Early College Academy, otherwise known as DECA, I guess, on Wednesday, were mostly from low-income families. Few of their parents went to college. It turns out that the success story of this school, every one of them is going to college, all 32 students. The success story may not be enough to save the experimental public high school, which tells you right away. Voters rejected a school tax levy on May 8th, forcing the school district to cut $30 million from its budget. That could result in the academies reverting to a more traditional model. What they've done here, apparently, is a lot of the teachers went into this. And again, remember, we're only talking about, you know, maybe a couple hundred students, I don't know, in this one school. And the 32 of them here graduating, the student-teacher ratio is 14 to 1 as opposed to 30 to 1 in some of their other schools, I guess. And the teachers learned by trial and error how to take care of these students and bring, these are low, you know, people that were, they would have been thrown on the trash heap as far as education was concerned. And guess what? They're all going to college. So
they're learning mostly by error.
Well, they said that the teachers learned by trial and error. And the reason that, now I don't know what their budget is, but I know here locally, our school board budget is, is almost $300 million. So a $30 million cut.
The county budget.
The school budget, separate from the county budget.
Right. It's the county school budget.
Right. That's right.
Alachua County School.
Alachua County Schools for 25,000, 26,000 students. The budget is almost $300 million. I would have guessed that it's the same ratio as up
per
here.
Per year,
right. They collect that per year. And, which is about $11,000, roughly $11,000 per student is collected from the tax. They're going to cut, anyway, if you were to cut $30 million, of course, the first thing that they do, obviously, is they want to cut the school that's the most successful. Isn't that just, I mean, it's 32 lousy students graduating, and that's the one they want to throw into the, does that tell you something about the school board?
Well,
that tell
you? Threat. That's what they always do. It's like when they say they're going to cut municipal funds, the first thing they say is, well, there'll be no police. There'll be no fire protection.
No, I tell you the truth. This particular one, they may go through with it. The way this story reads, they said that the school, which is an office building owned by the University of Dayton, was founded and operated in part with support from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and some another foundation based in Cincinnati. Now, the thing about it is, I don't understand why if Bill and Melinda Gates really want to do something, they'd fully fund this school rather than going over into Africa and doing whatever they do there. What they want to do is they want to convert the academy to a charter school, which will free it from the union constraints. The big deal here, believe it or not, is if you cut the apparently what they're saying is if you cut the $30 million from the school budget, they are going to have to get rid of these specialist teachers because they're new hires. And the way the union seniority rules are, you get the older ones, the ones that have been there for more than tenure. I mean, they've been there. You had some teachers that were literally, made zombies look young.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these were ancient. They were like, they taught Aristotle and were still here.
Sure. Yeah. And they were old then.
That's right.
Keep going.
That's right.
You're on a roll.
That's it. And so the new hires, the one that were only from like time of Lincoln or something, right, they get the boot.
Right.
And so the problem is that the teachers that have learned how to take the at-risk kids, the kids that got family problems, drug, who knows what all, and the graduated 32 of them, the entire graduating class of 32, again, not many, but it's still the experimental part of it. Every one of them's going to college. They have IB programs. They've all succeeded where everybody thought that they were going to be on the trash dump of kids. And so they have to fire the new hires. They've only been working for a couple of years, and they've learned all these special skills on how to take care of these kids. And why am I not surprised? So Patricia Lynch, the president of the teachers union, was on the planning committee that formed the school, but said it could not be exempt from the cuts. There are going to be setbacks in every school, you know, and it's interesting.
Going to happen,
you know. You know, take the kids. Sorry, kids. Now the indoctrination is, yeah, so that's
what, no more pencils.
No more. Well, I mean, yeah, no more pencils, no more books, no more teachers.
Now we had my history teacher was pretty good, though.
Well, no, that's right. I mean, if
she
they lived
there,
you know, no, that's true.
She
was there at the signing,
yeah.
You know, you do her, you know. She, well, I remember when we got the vote. So, you know, you just, yeah. When I was growing up, we couldn't vote. Hey, okay, thank you, lady. So anyway, that was that is kind of an education update, which we've seen before, and I have unfortunately little hope for that sort of thing.
Sell the school.
Well, that's right. That may be one of the things that I'll talk about here. Let me go into the presidential thing. Two presidential things. You saw where Thompson, what's his name?
Fred Thompson,
Law and Order guy, whatever.
Right, talking about the president.
Has he announced?
I don't think he's declared yet, but
he's quitting Law and Order, though.
He's quitting Law and Order to get into the real Law and Order.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, but they said.
Well, he's been in. He's a senator or something, I think.
Right. No, he's been a senator.
He's been around forever with politics.
Oh, yeah. No, he has. And he's popular and he looks the part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
he can play the role.
He can play the role.
Right.
I don't think he's ever been a, you know, Martin Sheen or anything like that. He's actually played the president before, but he certainly played.
He's played up there close to it, I think.
Yeah, right? I'm sure he has.
Like Secretary of State or something like that.
So anyway, he knows what he's doing. That's all the education you need, right? It's I've been in the movies, done it.
In the movie when we had this problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We didn't actually bomb them.
Yeah, really, the writers are better than the policymakers.
So what else is? That's a private thing.
So what were you going to say about Fred?
So Fred's apparently he's going to create some turmoil for the McCain and the other people in that wing, and then in the
Giuliani,
right? And who else is
Ron Paul is the one stirring things up, really.
Really?
Yeah, they said.
Now, there was a big debate I saw where somebody had, and I didn't listen to it. There was apparently been several debates. There was one on
There's been two Republican presidential debates, and according to the internet polls after the debates, Paul either won or just barely came in second.
Really?
Yeah, so he's causing some stir, and he got in a little tiff with Giuliani. And
over what?
Over the cause of 9/11.
Okay, right.
And he's saying that our foreign policy is basically stirring up trouble.
Right.
And Giuliani's saying, well, no, it was Chevrolet and apple pie and Barbie dolls that they attacked. And,
right. Yeah. Right.
So Paul.
You notice they didn't hit the Mattel factory.
Yeah.
It's not like they sailed into Detroit on any.
Took out the bathing suit shop.
We took out French Addiction, by God. That's it.
Yeah, so Paul, actually, some people were trying to get him banned from the next debates.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. If you disagree with him, ban him.
Yeah, ban him.
Right.
There you go.
I agree.
Yeah,
that's what Hugo does. So we're gonna talk about that in a minute.
We haven't gotten to Hugo.
This president. Well, what I did want to do
is anybody is better than Hillary.
Just well, let me tell you. You say that.
Anybody.
I have in my hands
an
article
Obama's
from today.
Obama right now.
Obama's looking good.
No, he's
the man.
No,
I mean, well, he ain't the man. He just ain't that bad. You know, ain't as bad.
Man,
as
I don't know. I got some things on Obama today, but go ahead. Right,
I want to talk about Edwards.
Oh yes,
Edwards wants a probe of high gas prices. You know what that means, don't you?
Again, they've already done this.
Okay. Well, no, this is today, Thursday, May 31st.
Yeah, I know, but they did this a year and a half ago.
Democratic presidential hopeful John Edwards says a wave of mergers in the oil industry should be investigated by the Justice Department to see what impact they have on soaring gasoline prices. Here's what he wants to do. An increase of the federal, this is the CAFE standards, federal auto fuel economy requirements to 45 miles per gallon from the current 27.5 by 2016. Of course, I love this because he wants to raise the auto fuel requirements to 45, not 46, not 44, but 45, and not 2015, not 2017, but 2016. Boy, I've got a plan. Expansion of the use of biofuels such as ethanol, including a requirement for oil companies to make available some special fuel that's 85% ethanol at a quarter of their stations. He wants all new cars to be able to use this E85 by 2010.
Boy, you talk about a guy.
Mandatory restrictions on emissions of carbon dioxide with an aim to cut CO2 and other greenhouse gases by 80% by mid-century. And finally, creation of a $13 billion energy fund from the sale of greenhouse gas permits and ending some tax breaks for the oil industry. The money would be used to support biofuels and conservation technologies. I mean,
I got it. Let's create a car that runs on all of the bullshit that comes out of his mouth.
Boy, I tell you, you'd run them all. You'd run them all.
Man, you talk about a guy who takes a poll to find out what he's at, what he's in support of.
I mean, it is astounding to me. Of course, there are so many things wrong with this you cannot imagine. First of all, rival Democratic presidential candidates, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Hussein Obama.
That's right. Also have called for expanded use of ethanol and other measures to reduce the country's reliance on oil. Of course, what gets me is once you reduce the reliance on oil, you increase the reliance on something else. And guess what it is? It's corn, which means your meat prices go through the ceiling. You know, you can't afford protein anymore because it's in your car.
Man, I'm just sorry Richard Pryor's not around to write some more jokes about Barack Obama. I mean, there's a whole record in that, man. There's a whole skit, man.
That's right, there is. But Edwards' message may resonate especially in California, the nation's most delegate-rich state, which has perennially high gasoline prices. People don't, in this country, I'm sorry, you don't know what high gasoline prices are.
No, no.
I mean, they may be historically high for this country, but as a percentage of what it takes you to go a mile or something, it's nothing compared to other countries, unless it's like Venezuela or someplace that has it, you know, on the ground.
Right.
But
no, it's 15 bucks a gallon in England.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's near that in Norway. No. In Norway, which is a oil-producing country, mind you.
It's about
sure it's 10 bucks.
And Europe is about twice as expensive as
it always has been.
$6 to $8 a gallon.
At least. And
of course, they sell it in liters over there. But still,
but it, no. Oh, then there are no gallons.
No gallons. That you can get a
There's
gallon.
No equivalency.
You cannot buy a gallon of gas.
That's right. You cannot buy a gallon of gas
in
Europe.
We don't sell a gallon.
No, we only sell liters.
That's right.
We'll sell as many liters, but no gallons.
Well, and the thing that just kills me is that, you know, Edwards doesn't realize that it takes more oil, more energy to produce A85, more CO2 emissions than it does just to use oil.
Well, this is
so politics. This is just pandering to pander.
Yep.
I don't know what. It is amazing. What this shows you, of course, is that you have to have zero negative principles, not no principles, negative principles in order to run for office. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of people we get to elect.
At least at that level.
Yeah.
Clinton.
But Tupper Hill, a spokesman for the Sacramento-based Western States Petroleum Association, this is the last line in the thing, said the prices have reflected market rates. And an antitrust investigation would be a waste of time. He said the industry has been subject to more than 20 state and federal investigations over the past two decades. I mean, this is amazing to me that, first of all, the prices of gasoline are not that high. They may be, for us here, temporarily or whatever it is.
Well, they went up 35 cents in 2 weeks.
So
it did start prompting some of this.
Well,
but like I said, they've done all this before, just after Katrina. Three months after Katrina, they had this probe. This multi-million-dollar probe.
Every time I think of the government probe, I know where it's
that's
going.
That's exactly right.
We've learned all we can about alien anal probes.
Yeah. That's right.
Seriously.
Get your KY ready. We're having another government probe.
You using the whole fist, Doc?
Yeah, that's right. You bet.
Yeah. Man, I'm
going to leave it in.
It just what ignorance of economics this guy must have.
No, and that's the other thing, is that they really have. Then they don't trust the market. They think they're smarter than the market. I will wave my wand. And I will fix things. And, of course, they've been doing it for 2,000 years that I know of in recorded history and never, never got it right. This is what is amazing me, is that there is not a single problem that there's not, no matter how serious the problem, there is not a single problem that the government can't make worse. There is just
you
no matter how
first.
Serious. If you are doomed and the government gets involved, you are double doomed. That's it. You're going to die twice. Seriously.
That's a bumper sticker right there. Double doomed.
That's right. I mean, what is amazing to me is not only do they do a 180 on the problem, not only do they not solve the problem, but in fact make it worse. That is exactly a 180. But then there's collateral damage.
Right.
All around, there's dead bodies.
As they're swinging around that way.
As they're swinging around that way, they take out a bunch of other, they create some other problems, and then they say, oh, look, you idiots out there have done this. Never their fault. Have you ever heard a government official say, oops, we screwed up on
back.
That. We take it back. No, never. They said, you idiots out there, you don't understand what we really meant here. What we meant, we're going to have something we're called tightening up. We're going to beef up this regulation. Or they...
And the price controls really worked well in the early 70s, didn't they?
They have never, in 2,000 years, think about it. You want to know something? No, there is. Do you know where the word draconian comes from?
Absolutely.
Yeah, our listeners may not. We're going to repeat this. It comes from, there was an emperor, what was his name, Dracus?
Yeah.
Okay, And he imposed wage and price controls, I think, in the 4th century in
Rome. It was around then, yeah.
And they were literally, the as was during the French Revolution, the price for violating, the penalty for violating the wage, the price controls, was death.
Right. It was death for a whole bunch of offenses.
A whole bunch. In France, believe it or not, for selling bread during the revolution, the penalty was death. Guillotine. and which somebody said we ought to bring that back.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay. But the deal is, it didn't work then. If death is the penalty, the price controls don't work because the market figures out a way.
Never. Well, like you said, 2,000 years of recorded history, all of recorded history. Check it out.
What is astounding to me is how these politicians, when they realize that we've got arguably, unless you're a Seventh-day Adventist, we've got on Thursday afternoon at noon in the year 6006 BC or whatever the hell it is. Okay. If, lacking that, about 200,000 years ago when our current species broke off from the chain, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, we've had 200,000 years, arguably 200,000 years of our current Homo sapiens type thing. And we've
dragged our fish asses out of the pond.
Not quite. No. We broke off the
monkey fish squirrel.
Yeah, something.
Tree shrew.
That's right.
The jumping shrew.
That's right. Whatever it was. Whatever we did. That's right.
Jimmy used to be a jumping shrew. And that wasn't too long ago.
It was about an hour ago. I'll tell you what Jimmy would like to jump.
Jump ship. All right,
not quite. Not quite. Anyway, 200,000 years of evolution, and arguably 5 to 10,000 years of recorded history. Never, never, not once, not a single time has a government intervention worked and succeeded in doing. And they're still trying it. It's stunning to me.
With
a track record that is virtually all of non-recorded history and all of recorded history, mm-hmm. failure, and they, well, no.
This time for sure.
This time we'll get it.
That's
right.
That's like Bullwinkle in the Hat.
What?
Bullwinkle. Come on, you never watched Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I always watched. The only thing I remember was, wasn't that Dudley Do-Right?
What?
But
Bullwinkle was always trying to pull the rabbit out of his hat.
Oh, right.
Guess
and
what
it was rhinoceros
came out of it.
Exactly. Right. Rhinoceros would come.
Let's try now. How about Charlie Brown in the football?
Well, exactly.
This time for sure. I promise you, this time I will hold it down.
I will not pull it away.
Yeah. Well, right. And of course, Chavez just passed price gouging bill. Oh, no, wait, but that was the House. Excuse me, that was the House. The House just passed.
Hard to believe that. Yeah,
a price.
Now, a gas gouging.
Right.
And of course, this is
there
is something in a name. What is so funny is how people will react to the name. This is called the anti-gouging bill or something like that. Right. Never mind that it is price control.
The gouging,
and it will work. It
can't gouging
work.
is that government and state tax that they're, well, they're gouging on top of
one
this
of
guy.
The, when you realize, think about it for a second, when you realize that out of $3 gasoline, the profit that the oil companies make.
Well, let's start with the shop owner. Shop owner gets, 7 or 8 cents a gallon profit?
Max.
That's it. That's for owning the shop, for taking the risk. Someone's going to come up, rob your ass.
They got to sell like $2 million worth of gas in a year to turn a profit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's
7 cents.
It is. They are so strapped down, those guys.
All right, so they get 7 cents.
Of course, the nice thing is that that people like, that's why I guess they're sending these kangaroo pumps where they have 10 things and no attendance. That's the only way they can do it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say $3 a gallon, so we're down to $2.93.
Well, the oil company gets about 15 or 20 cents.
All right, per gallon.
Right.
Okay, all right, we're down in the low 280s.
I mean, profit, I'm talking about.
Profit. All
okay.
Right.
But the governments get something like 43 cents altogether.
Absolutely.
Yeah, more than the oil companies and the guys running the delivering it.
I mean, isn't that a nice scam, though?
That is.
I mean, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to do anything.
You just got to go.
No, it is a protection racket. Yeah. It is. What is amazing to me is, and they even call it a protection racket. They're so unashamed. They don't actually come in with their suits and the guns actually in their belt, but they say, well, it's for your protection.
Oh, unless
they say we're here to protect the public safety. We're here for public safety, welfare, and health. We are here to protect the public.
Right.
And so, I
Never
mean,
mind,
so it
it's
is
all voluntary
protection money. I mean, it is astounding to me that they have no shame in calling it protection money.
I mean, our modest mobster would just blush.
Oh, no. The only reason they can't get away with it is because the government's bigger than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just pure and simple. The government's got, like, RPGs and shit. You know, and all they got is, like, you know, regular Gatling guns and stuff. Right.
This House bill that just passed calls for up to a $2 million fine. Okay? A $2 million fine. And just by comparison, the fine for murder is like $15,000.
I'm in.
I mean, hey, you know, it's 1% of the fine for what will be gas gouging. I mean, come on.
And not only that, if you read on there, it's very subjective. It's a case by case what constitutes gas. I mean, somebody's going to come in there. There are no rules. Basically, the guy comes in and says, there's no rules. It's just right. No, you walk in and the guy says, I think you're gouging.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not. Oh, well, let's go to court.
Right. Now, we deem you to be gouged.
I mean, it is a subjective. No, they tell you. They said, well, there seems to be that little minor problem. We have that. We have a little minor problem here that somebody might think that it's a political decision. Let's say somebody complains, like DCF, you know, somebody complained that the gas price went up yesterday, therefore they must be gouging.
I really felt bad when I was paying all that money at the pump.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Last week I had to go see my mother. You know, then you're going to hear something. Well, my daughter was sick.
Right.
And
I had to pay it.
I had to pay it. I had no choice. You know, I had to drive to Atlanta and to see my daughter. And, you know, and
it's despicable.
How they get away with this is just unbelievable. You know, why didn't you go to the gas station over across the street? Well, no, you don't understand. It's this one. This is my favorite gas station. Right. I've always gone here, and he's ripping me off.
What I love was, I think it was K-Man had a solution, was what you do is you buy yourself a big gas-guzzling airplane, and then you get somebody to pay you not to run it.
Right.
For your carbon offset.
Oh, that's right. Offset.
And then he used the profit on that to buy a bigger airplane. And then you get somebody to pay it not to run that.
Yeah.
And eventually you can become the aviation overlord and control all the airways.
Okay. Now, there's one of the things that's interesting about that. Don't laugh. The simple fact is that this reminds me a little bit of in the 1980, I guess it was, the federal savings and loan blow up. Was because of just this kind of a thing. What they said is, we're going to deregulate, same kind of thing, we're going to deregulate the savings and loans companies. And again, I'm not going to go into the great history of it, but they didn't. They deregulated half of the regulations, and they left the other half, that is the protection half, so to speak, in place, which basically said, the federal government said, look, we're going to put this big wad of money, a couple of billion dollars out here on the table, and all you people out there in the savings and loan industry, be responsible, okay? Be responsible with this. Don't take advantage of this.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And it turned out
in the Keating Five.
The Keating Five, you know, they said, BS. Guess what? Suckers! You know, I mean, the fact is, if you lay money in the middle of it, other than here in Gainesville. I will say the honor system works here in Gainesville pretty well.
On a game day.
On a game day, it works very well. We'll talk about that.
For parking.
For parking, it does a stunning. But
in the real world.
In the real world, right. If you lay out billions of dollars, I would imagine that even the parking here in Gainesville, if I was to lay $1 billion in my front yard,
you think?
I'm somebody guessing that somebody might take it.
Yeah. There wouldn't even be a shadow of where that chair was. There'd be pavement removed.
So anyway, that's the
we were talking about the presidential. It started with all the local.
Well, the main thing I want to talk about were the new guy. That is Obama, Ron Paul again was in he's the Republican debate.
Right.
But the simple fact is that all of the candidates are statists and socialists and unavowed.
Right.
I mean, unbowed socialists. I mean, they are Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Obama came out with his new program for health care.
Oh, yeah. I saw
the article said that he didn't mention how much it would cost. And my thought was, I should have said, he didn't care how much it would cost.
Well, you didn't want to scare the bejesus out of everybody.
Universal health care, we're talking about.
Yeah, universal. Single payer, universal, government run.
Everybody deserves it. You're entitled.
Right. No, you're entitled. And again, this is the old thing, and that is when does...
The whole universe?
As
far as he's concerned.
As far as
reaching as his power can be.
His and Obama did.
What I liked was that he used the tired, tired, old, worn out argument that his the greater efficiency created by his system will offset some of the costs. Yeah, me too. You know, that is like the oldest one in the book. I mean, Obama, come on, man. And I guess it's his massive experience that's going to...
Right.
Oh, wait, well, he doesn't have any experience.
Oops. Well, no, it's not. It's just in the Senate. That has nothing to do with health care. Even Hillary, of course, has come out. She's, you know, she's being... doing the
Hillary?
Hillary is coming out with the mea culpa. Gosh, you know, I got the bruises to show for when I tried it a dozen years ago, whatever. And but still, they're all talking about socialists. And this, look, we're not going to call it that. They've all said, well, don't call it that. It's not that. It's ours is different from Canada and England and France
and Mao
and yeah right and that's right and Mao, but it's not. I mean, the fact is they're a little tweaking around the edges, and the simple fact is, what amazes me about this is when you listen to them on TV, they say, well, the pool of people, the thing they're worried about is if you have pre-existing condition that you can't get any health care. Yeah, well. Okay, too bad. So they want to be able to put those people in the pool that need a heart transplant tomorrow morning. And so, you know, sorry, oh, you need a heart transplant? Yeah, you're automatically insured. Your insurance $5. Okay, go into the hospital. Yeah, it'll be $500,000. Thank you so much. I mean, we should also get such a good deal. But the deal is that they always talk about expanding the pool. I have never quite understood, and insurance companies have always, when you realize there are 1,800 insurance companies, or at least that in the United States, that cover everything. From who knows what to who knows what, their pools, when you think about it, insurance is a pool type thing already, and you don't have to have that big a pool in order to spread the risk quite nicely. I mean, if you get 100,000 people in a pool, you know, and I'm not even talking about the cream of the crop. I mean, if you go in and just actuarially, you know, just say, okay, we're going to take everybody in this steel plant, say, or, you know, or we're going to take everybody at Ford. I mean, you've got a bell-shaped curve. You can do the actuarial things, and there you can. And that's all that you don't need to have 280 million people in the pool.
I think every time we pay our taxes and every time we make payments for our health insurance, we should get to choose who we want to get our money. There should be a little list there. Do you want John to have the heart transplant, or do you want to get Betty to have the fake tits? Betty!
You can imagine. I can tell you now.
I mean, we should have a say. You know, if I don't want to give Jose a new prosthetic leg, I should have a say.
Well, you can tell you there'll be an awful lot of Bettys running around here. Awful lot of Bettys.
Candy.
Well, that's it. Just incredible, more socialism from the... from the group, but
anybody else want to talk about new presidents?
Well, there's some indication that Newt might run.
Yeah,
Newt.
Right?
Yeah, I don't care. You know, and he's of all the people in the world, gets me. The guy's a history professor, and yet he's turned more statist as he's gotten. No, I don't understand that.
He used to be non-statist, didn't he?
Well, pretty much. He was. Right. You know, they went in on this thing, and on the big revolution, they wanted to go in there when Reagan, he was part of the Reagan thing, and then later on they want to, for instance, to give an example, disband, eliminate the Department of Education, which they should have done. If today it's a behemoth. It's way bigger than it ever was.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, intrusive is not the word for it. I mean, it's astounding to me to think that it's some huge bureaucracy, some mind-numbing and mindless bureaucracy in Washington can tell this thing in Ohio, for instance, or whatever down here locally, what to do. Well, they can because they bribe them. You know, it's one third of the money, I think, here locally. A third of the money comes out.
Newt has lately been breaking a little with Bush, too. He's starting to.
Oh, yeah. No, he has. They all have. You know,
I just like the name.
That's a safe bet.
We got Newt. We got Obama. We got Mitt. You know,
Huckabee. You forgot about Huckabee.
Huckabee. Well, that's his.
Can you imagine?
Huckabee Finn.
That's right. I mean, can you imagine that he's going to have Huckleberry Hound as his mascot or something? Okay, boo-boo.
That's Yogi.
Okay,
and,
well, whatever. What a I like this so much now, eh?
Hey, no. Boo-boo. Yeah. I don't think the Ranger's going to like that. He's the guy who wants to build the wall down on the border.
Oh, right, okay. And isn't this guy Trucandero or whatever his name is? Truculent, Tacandero, whatever from Colorado. He wants. Does he want to build a wall too?
I don't know. Speaking of presidential candidates, Bush got together with.
Now that is. Let me tell you something. That is wrong grammatically.
Bush got together.
Yeah, when you say speaking of presidential candidates, the next word should be the presidential candidate.
I said
an agreement, a clause agreement. Okay, good. Grammar girl wins again. Go ahead.
Okay. Bush.
Speaking of presidential candidates,
he was coming up. I was going to talk about the Kennedy.
He's multitasking.
Oh, Kennedy.
Right. Kennedy and Bush got together. The last time Kennedy and Bush got together, there was no child left behind.
Right.
No child's behind left unwiped.
That's right. Or if you're in the Catholic Church, it's no child's behind left.
And so, but now he and Kennedy have got together. And with this new immigration bill.
The immigration bill, yes.
Immigrate.
Now, is this point system thing?
Amnesty, baby. It's amnesty.
Well, yeah, right. Now, this is a Band-Aid on a patch, on some glue, on some tape, wrapped by a string on the problem. I mean, this is
on
such...
On the dangling arm.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a political solution.
You think?
Oh, my God.
When I think about it, Kennedy, political? Nah, I don't know.
No, well, I mean, whenever you see Kennedy, whenever you see the far left and the far right getting together... It's time to run far. I mean,
that's exactly right. Well, when the elephants dance, the mice get squashed.
Man.
So it's, and we're the mice.
And
just now, they know euphemisms.
Well, I think that this is interesting because I did see an article about this. It's a point system. It's 100 points. Apparently, when you win 100, hey, Bob, I'll take English language for 20. Answer came up, they embodied in the immigration bill now on the Senate floor would represent a radical shift in the philosophy of the U.S. immigration system. Rather than focus on reunifying families, the system would emphasize bringing in better educated, higher skilled immigrants who would help the United States compete in the world economy. Now, let me tell you something. Doesn't that tell you something that they want to insource our knowledge now? I mean, rather than fix the education system here, which is totally broken.
This new bill sounds to me like they went to the top senators and representatives and they said, what's your pet issue on immigration?
Right.
And somebody said, well, I really want to pay a fine. And somebody else said, well, I want them to go home first. And somebody else said, well, I want them to be able to come back for a couple years, but then they have to go home for a year and then back for two more years and then home for a year.
And then they bring their whole family over with them.
But only
get to bring their wife first and their firstborn male child, but not the second. But if she's a good-looking girl, bring her in.
Right. If she can work.
And we'll give her the fake tits.
That's right.
We'll pay for her.
That's
she's
right.
Front of the line.
That's right. Front of the line. She get a new front in the front of the line. So anyway, no, you're exactly right. And so what they did is on a lot of this stuff is they threw all these ideas into a hat.
Yeah.
And then they dumped them out. And then somebody either they went in and picked out 10 at random.
Right.
Or else they threw them on a table and tried to assemble it into some kind of a jigsaw puzzle.
It looks, I mean, the plan, that was your whole plan? I mean, get her.
That was your whole plan.
Seriously, this is the chumpiest immigration plan. I heard Pat Buchanan call it amnesty. It's a $5,000 fine. Sound to me like amnesty. I mean, I guess he doesn't care about $5,000, but I mean,
he cares that. He has pocket change.
I heard, you know, the French now are offering people $8,000 to go home. We'll pay your ass to go home, illegal aliens.
Jesus.
That's an idea.
We'll
buy
Well, the problem is, they take the money and then they turn around and come back.
Right. You go back, you leave $7,000, you take the other grand, you pay your coyote, you come back.
That's it. Boom, done.
I mean,
it doesn't get any better than that.
No.
You go through the paintball, dodgeball, paintball.
That's the thing. They got to go through the rain.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, at the Jimmy Doan Show, we solved this immigration problem about a year ago.
Oh, God.
And our solution was you set up little Taco Bell stands all along the border. You say, just come on through, just walk on through. We'll take your fingerprint, make sure you're not a terrorist on the watch list, whatever it is. Sign your waiver of Medicare and Social Security.
And school,
and then you're in.
And then what you do is you get them, one of those bouncer stamps that you put on the back of their, in case you want to come back, you know, you put one bouncer stamp on the back of your hand, so you can show us under the UV light.
Right, and the black light.
Stamp, please, senor.
So yeah, done. No, that's I think we talked about this in the last one. Is there are 43? Did you know that there are 43 consulates, Mexican consulates here in the United States? The latest one has been opened up in Little Rock, Arkansas, because to service the
illegals.
We don't say that
illegals.
To service the Spanish speaking population.
The illegals.
Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Hey, Pepe, man, I'm an illegal.
But anyway, the point is that, you know, a consulate is like a little piece of Mexico. You know, it's once you go in there, right. It's Mexican territory. It's like an embassy.
It's sacred.
And they have 43 of them here in the United States. I didn't realize this. We have 40. And my thinking was, if they're going to do that, we put 43 down there, man. Put 43 little United States places down there. And
all on Cozumel.
Boy, I'd have one there.
Now, we got a consulate everywhere.
But I mean, I wonder if we have 43 in Mexico. I mean, I'd stick them in every little out-of-the-way place in the world and say, come on, you know, and just rubber stamp, like you say, either the Taco Bell on the border, but why wait? You know, here's your paper.
Right.
You can get it down in Cancun or someplace. You know, we don't care. Or down in the Yucatan or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Or Sammy Hagar's place down there.
Cabo.
Yeah.
He's turning freaking $30 million a year selling tequila.
Whoa. Good idea.
Yeah.
Which is
and everybody said he can't be done. You are absolutely out of your mind to do this. And he turned it around. He says, I just love tequila. I'm going to make the best dang tequila out there. And, man, I mean,
all
of his business partners were like, you know, no way, man. You know, even the band, like, no, you can't. It's not going to happen. And, man, all of a sudden, boom, like, you know, he got everything happening. He got a tourist designation down there. He's got a club that he plays at down there.
Oh, wow.
Sells tequila. Like,
he sells tequila for cooking. Now, he was on the Emerald Cooking Show the other day.
Oh, really? Man, just promoting
Emerald
like crazy.
Was cooking something with his tequila, man.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when we went down to, we did that vacation, which I love, down at Cozumel.
Yeah, he can't.
And they have, I don't mean tequila's cheap in Mexico, but what is amazing to me was that this hotel we were at, the resort we were at, they had turned the tequila barrel around, not facing the bar, facing out from the bar.
Right.
And when you wanted to get some more tequila, you walked up with your glass and put the tequila in there. And, well, I mean, that was...
Right. Don't bother us with tequila.
Yeah, don't bother us with tequila. Hey, man, don't bother me with tequila, man. You know, you want something, you want a Jack Daniels, I'd mix that for you, but tequila, no, man.
Help yourself.
No, I mean, about every third cup, a little worm would come out. You know, it'd be great.
So, yeah. So, anyway, so we don't know what's going to happen. It's all going to go to hell. Who knows?
Well, it's the immigration bill. Of course, the thing about this immigration, I don't want to finish up on this and we're going to take a break.
I said there's no way in hell it's ever going to get.
Let me tell you, you've heard the saying of a camel is a horse designed by a committee. This is so embarrassing. This would embarrass any
camel.
An alien camel. An alien camel with 47 humps, 16 eyes, and looked like a lobster.
I mean, Dr. Seuss couldn't draw one of these things.
No. You cannot imagine what an alien being would look like with this bill. I give up. Seriously, you'd have to have an alien draw an alien.
Right.
This is like two aliens removed in the art world is what this bill is going to be. And I love this stuff. I mean, when you read this article, I've yellow lined some of it. I think it's so funny. The point system was a relatively late addition to the immigration. In other words, at the last minute, they're throwing this thing in. They talk
about. Wait a minute. Are you saying they amended a bill at the last minute?
Hard to believe. And let's see, this guy Kyle and Senator Lindsey Graham are South Carolina described the difficult negotiations among a small bipartisan group of senators on how to devise a point system under which prospective immigrants would compete for green cards. And he pushed for rewarding highly skilled workers, the best and the brightest. And of course, what did they give him, an SAT test before he came in?
That sounds like a new reality show, man.
Yeah, I mean, really, no, they put him on Jeopardy.
Right.
And they, you know, they ask him, you know, I'll take physics for 200 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I'll take
the American flag for 500.
That's it. No, I mean, that's exactly that kind of thing.
New Mexico.
Nuevo Mexico, man. So anyway, Kyle said he tried to address their concerns by reserving 10,000 green cards for low-wage workers. 10,000. I mean, that is not... I'm sorry, we have 12 million people here. Okay, and we have a million. I've got 2 million. I'm going to reserve 10,000. That is not even a rounding error in the problem.
No, I'm telling
you. I love this. The article here's some of the points. Immigrants in high-demand occupations, such as janitors, cleaners, and landscapers, would get 16 points, a bit fewer than the points for engineers and scientists, who would get 20. Now, this is out of 100. The horse trading... continued up to the... I mean, this tell everything you need to know. They agreed to add 5 points for workers who have completed a certified vocational training program. People with graduate degrees get 20 points. Here's the deal. They want to clear the backlog of existing applications, and Department of Homeland Security says that's going to take 8 years. Now, let me ask you a question. Clear the current backlog in 8 years, and let me ask you a question. Do you think there might be a new backlog?
No. Backlogs, by definition, they don't back up anymore.
That's right.
They stop. It's not working.
Yeah, that's right. No more applications accepted.
Right.
That's it. It may be a good idea.
What are the hot Mexican stripper chicks? How many points do they get?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
50 points.
I got 50 from the counselor.
Do I hear 55? Okay.
Is that before or after the free surgery?
It's before, unfortunately.
And then the bidding goes really up. That's like those cars that people restore. You know, it's once before they're restored, it's worth a certain amount of money. After they're restored, big money.
Well, we've invested them.
We've invested. That's right. We'll do that. We'll pass that along.
All right, you want to take a break?
I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to part one of the May 31st, 2007 Jimmy Dome podcast.
When the world is coming down on you, and your back's against the wall, change the glass that you've been looking through. It's really hard for laughter. As bad as you think it is, 'cause every bad day turns around, round, round, round. Forgive yourself for all the things you did. The vertical man don't lay down, 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 down. If you feel like giving up, if you feel like you've had enough, let it go. Don't you know? Come on, kick the bottom out. Stomp your feet, scream and shout. Let it go. Let it go. And when the sun comes shining through for you, you'll discover even rainbows have the blue. Yes, I know. You know, life is tough, let it go. Don't you know? Come on, kick the bottom out. Scream and shout, let it go. Let it go. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like you've had enough, let it go. Let it go.
familiar sound. To avoid a bad ending, email Councilor Curtis for your get-out-of-jail-free card today.